Good evening, friends. The previous speaker referred to today's talk on character and spiritual integrity and found that there is some connection with this and the celebration of the Republic Day, the day on which Indian Constitution was finally recognized officially. In other words, there is a stamp of true freedom that the nation achieved, independent of any other pressure from outside. Therefore, this freedom requires a price. And therefore, we have chosen this topic of reading on vigilance. They say the price of freedom, vigilance is the price of freedom. And if you want to maintain freedom, national or of independent individual, true freedom that is, on an individual part, then one has to be vigilant. Because man is surrounded by extraordinary forces, on inner plane as well as on the outer world. And these forces are of a mixed type. But the tendency is always earthly, towards the earthliness. And that way it is possible to, you can actually convert even a good man, a holy man, if he is slightly sleepy, slightly careless. And therefore the subject of character demands, first and foremost, a complete attentiveness to one's nature. Not only that, but the statement says that a non-vigilant person is though is already dead. Now that's a terrible statement. It is as good as dead because he is dead in the spiritual conditions, his own inner conditions. Because man in essential nature is a spiritual entity. And a non-vigilant individual is careless about that part of his nature. Most of the time he is so deeply engrossed with his personal standings, then this jump thought of personal existence, my things, my possession, my progress, completely almost makes him yet to spiritually. With this introduction, we go to the subject of birth. The other day somebody asked me that I want to talk of this commonplace subject like ethics and morality. We had enough of it during school years. Oh, that is the moral class, a special period for morality. All these platitudes keep on repeating, do good, be good. Yeah, fair. Tell us something about human power. Tell us something about self-development. Tell us something about human magnetism, how we can expose ourselves from others. Tell us something about leadership. Tell us something about achievements. And people want this kind of topic to deal with. Or tell us something about physical health, or tell us something about beautifying ourselves, and so on. This commonplace character, all those things, we are well grounded. Now, if it is so, then why is it the world is suffering? Why is it truly an emptiness felt by many people? Why is it that is increasing statistical experience? Increasing crimes, increasing suicides, increasing mental breakdown. There's a book called Mental Breakdown of a Nation, written by American psychiatrist, and about his experiences with American citizens. So he was amazed that within a short period of his practice, he found a vast number of disturbed people. Why is it so? So that progress on the physical plane, pari passu, the inner plane has not taken place, and that is why there is a pain. We speak about the spiritual integrity, the integer means whole, oneness, balance between body and mind and soul, balance between our emotional nature and our mental nature. And then there is no such integrity, no such harmoniousness, no such working together. Right? On the other hand, there is conflict with one another, loggerheads with one another. Then there is bound to be some kind of breakdown. In psychiatrists agree That is a psychological thing. Emotional nature on one side is in conflict with intellectual or mental or social nature on another. And due to this conflict, if a person is not able to adjust himself, he is bound to get under the stress. So this is one reason why it is so necessary to know something about our higher nature. It's because character belongs to our higher nature. So we could put a very definition of that, but if you can really understand it, that in your hand. Character is a dictionary definition. Character represents moral excellence. It also means good mental and moral disposition. The banquet also means certain characteristic states. Particularly in the book of psychology, the word character is usually used not as something high or noble, but as characteristic traits, psychological traits. And the word integrity, which comes from the word integer, complete, whole, one. Numerically, it is one, number one. It is a state of being whole. And the word whole has something to do with the wholeness. That is health, wholesomeness. So integrity means some kind of a physical, mental and spiritual health. It also means uprightness. It means moral soundness. Again, can be considered mental health. Mental and moral soundness. So with this definition, if you go straight to the topic, it seems that there is a lot we should give our mind to, apply our mind to the subject now and then. In fact, we have to keep constantly in view. For that is what it means by vigilance. We have to be constantly aware as to, at every moment of our life, one-to-one decision-making, making choices through trials of life, one has to be aware as to our true nature, as to become aware of our responsibility to ourselves and to others. Because that is life. So, then, even the world teachers, you go to the history of the world teachers, why are they there? Reformers. There are social reformers. And they started reform movements. They didn't come to establish a new religion. They came as a reformer. So these reform movements which are initiated has to do mainly with human character. And so they were teaching, the basic thing about religion is to teach science of morality. Actually it's a science. Therefore it is called the ethics. Ethics means the science of morality. And actually we also presented the higher goal of life, which is a progress in another dimension. That is, there should be a material progress, no doubt. No one is going to say that we must put the clock back into the old-fashioned things, into nomadic state, the caveman's life. But by passing with the outward progress, that should also be a kind of inner progress. And one can find out from a common man in the street the kind of progress that a nation has made. And the quality of the nation consists of the quality of the people, the stuff of the people she is made of. And so you say that in the last 50 years after independence, although we are celebrating Republic Day, I mean, elderly people like us feel really sorrowful, really sad. Because we have seen those days of Gandhiji's guiding us, fighting for independence. That is, and he continually emphasized that you should be independent. Independence, Swarajya means that rule over yourself in the first instance, before you want to rule over your country. So this is a continuous emphasis in his life. Students who receive students like us in their young days were inspired by this idea that just self-control, the control over oneself, is more important than seeking purely political independence. That's by the way. And things are good here and now, within this world forward, for the same purpose, continually pointing to the upliftment of the human nature. It is only through this upliftment of human nature that changes may take place on the outward field. So the remedy is straightforward, human character. Now if you look at the social conditions that you just mentioned, you know, the social behavior. How are we going to those resources? Anyway, we just mentioned that the elevation of it is completely depends upon individuals. It is no use blaming the society. The society is made up of human beings. And individuals have their own contribution. It's a collective consciousness of humanity that consists of a society. So when you say society or a group of people, a large, a small or a large number of people coming together, just as we are here, a kind of an atmosphere is generated between among ourselves. A kind of magnetic link is established among ourselves. And each of us is contributing to this atmosphere. So whenever people come together, there is a natural law. Then immediately a kind of magnetic atmosphere is generated, which is good, bad, or indifferent, depending on the coloring that individuals have contributed to it. And therefore, even as somebody said, that even a person who is not literate, who doesn't much understand, but he is sitting in the last corner, which has sympathy for the meeting, any meeting, particularly theosophical meeting. If he is sitting there with some kind of a sympathy, he has contributed a lot to the meeting on that day. The quality of the meeting, the quality of the getting together, will change by one single sympathetic member, though may be ignorant of the scientific subject of theosophy. So it is like that. So the, and if it is so for a little group like this, it can be true of the whole nation. Therefore, you must not think that what can an individual like you and me do regarding the whole nature, the psychic atmosphere of this country, however low it may be, how low it has fallen to what you and I know, we need not talk about that. It is a very sad chapter. But we are aware of it. And we can say, I even have a hand in it. So the answer is that we have a hand in it. That sometime or the other we have contributed to. Then we do not have the courage to stop it. Like Roosevelt who said, that the buck stops here. He had a motto on his table. The buck stops here. It means all those buckments, all the ugly things that may come here, I won't allow it to continue forward. I won't let it go forward. And in one place, his wife told him, Mrs. Roosevelt, what is this effort of higher life? We are making all this effort on the spiritual thing and so on. He said, but I want at least one less candle in the world. I want at least one less candle in the world. If there are many, many old day, but let there be at least one less candle. So, I mean, little contribution, but I want at least one less one. So, if each of us would think in that terms, that I want just one less done on this earth for the sake of others, and at least the faith. If you can think that I will not let the wrong thing happen in my family, and thanks to me, or because of me, because of my conscious or unconscious contribution to family atmosphere. So this is taking responsibility upon ourselves. So this is, and that requires character. This is character. When we say character, it is some kind of an integration, kind of wholeness. Your mind and heart both working together. And of course, that is the help of the hand. In the right direction. So this is just as the foundation of business. So that means we have to understand the roots of human character. And therefore we can go through our reading of itself. Yes, yeah. All good and evil things in humanity have the roots in human character. That foundational cause is if there is good things or there are evil things anywhere, the root cause is in human character. Progress or true progress can be attained and only attained by the development of noble qualities. Immediately the habit is given by Madame Lavoisier to keep the theosophy. That can be attained by the development of noble qualities. So you have to sit silently, quietly, not go out into the world and fight the battle. But you may not be in your own chamber. As Jesus says, close the door, within your own closet, pray to thy Father in heaven. And through prayer, what is that? Through prayer is good will, offering good will for humanity, wishing well of others. And in that act, some purification process. Individual does purify in that moment of Maitri Bhavana, a feeling good about others. So, the process, I have contributed to that. Any one of us who does just a little act of mental charity, to that extent, a little less of evil mental things. And Dhammapada says, no, that evil grows by drop by drop. Just as a lake of water, lake grows or rises by drops of water. Few keep on dropping, 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 and the lake gets filled up. Similarly, a character gets filled up by the world, evil or by the good, through just tiny little acts of goodness and charity. And that means not even to neglect even the slightest opportunity to be good inwardly. We are not going to say that we go out and do something good outwardly. That will happen, that will naturally take place from things. But basically, the inner change must take place from inside. So if you want to change the world, if you want to reform the world, the reformation begins with the individual. The responsibility is like completely with the individual. And when we talk about democracy, we talk about the masses getting together and having their voice. But we don't realize that with the rights that we have achieved through this democracy, there is also the responsibility of the individual. If you want to enjoy your rights, you have to pay the price. And the price is responsibility of the individual level. And nothing unless I contribute to my national welfare. Not by paying income tax, rightly or properly. That is also why we are doing it. That I will see to it that I pay my income tax, whatever it is, because ultimately that money may be utilized for the upbuilding of my nation. Why should I grudge it? If I have got millions, and if some few millions are taken away from me through income tax, in all honesty, although they pinch me if I am a personal man. But at the same time, I feel that that's my contribution. That's my contribution to the welfare. So if you see, the attitude can completely change. The income tax will not be a pinch on me. It will become like a duty to my nation. And how, I mean, if you talk to these two worldly people, they say, you are half mad, you are insane, you are idiot. The word idiot is not coming in the field. A person of your life is that idiot, he is a fool. So, come to this, of course we have to understand, therefore, the roots of human nature and the roots of character, that whether it helps in uplifting or downgrading, that will completely determine the outward conditions. So the outward condition is merely the reflection of the quality of the life of individuals. This is again and again. So the remedy, of course, suggested about the world problem is a religion will offer one solution, scientists will offer another, economics will tell you, sociology will do some, social psychologists will do another. There are various solutions to problem of, say, corruption or problem of war. But all these solutions, they continually deal with the effects most of the time. It's like palliative. We have got headache, we take a painkiller, that's all. But the root cause has not been tackled as yet. Because we are afraid to be, because we are not so sure. Because it begins with myself. If I stand up and offer a solution that the world requires a noble man, good man, man of righteousness, man of integrity. If I stand up and say, well, how about you? Somebody will ask me from the audience, sir, how about you? Have you paid your income tax? Somebody can question me like that. So my conscience will not be clear if I want to suggest such a drastic measure for me of self-purification and integrity within myself. And ultimately, if you want progress, if you want integrity progress, at least all your progress on physical plane, of course you must grow physically, our wealth also should increase. But at the same time, peace also, sadness also increase. There should be mental peace. There should be a sense of security. People have been completely cancelled. You get the world, you get the social problem, as I just mentioned about this mental breakdown. If you look at this, look to go to the root cause. The effect now is because of this lack of disintegration, psychological and moral disintegration, breakdown. And that breakdown comes very insidiously. It starts with childhood. Our children have been made tanks. From childhood, they have been on the tender end. Because you see, their family atmosphere is not full of love. In their own home, they find conflicts. And therefore, the child feels very insecure. So they learn the seeds they have already sown. And then the instincts will tell you to become self-defense. So the instincts of defense are offense. The defense comes offense. If you can't hurt us, you hurt yourself. That's why there are many suicides. People who just feel helpless, they can't injure others. And they find they can't change the atmosphere, they can't change the conditions, they can't change the circumstances. The reaction comes on themselves. So they take violence upon themselves. One of the causes of suicide is this very important cause. So it's like that. Therefore, we are trying to understand what are the knowledge of the economical, political, social, psychological, all these things combined together. But at the base of it, the base of it is knowledge about why am I here. And that is the purpose of the great one, the purpose of yourself, the movement, to tell us particularly that the knowledge of universal ethics, not individual ethics, not do's and don'ts, not this, as I said, platitudes, but universal ethics. Ethics, that is, can be applied at all times. There must be a key to it, no? And the key to it is the fundamental principle, what man is. To answer any questions of whether social, political, religious, the question must come back to man himself. For ultimately, it is all for the man. The whole universe exists for the emancipation and for the development and the emancipation of the soul. This is what Patanjali said. The very universe itself. Can you imagine? I am a little man and the whole universe outside. It is standing, it is working in complete harmony so that I can work in harmony with it. And if I, in spite of knowing that I am interrelated with this universe and myself, I may be doing it, of course, scientifically, but I know that literally, I can affect others. Like infection. If I sneeze here, my viruses can go at the distance of 10 feet and can affect someone there who is susceptible to infection. Viruses are invisible entities, but there are still viruses. And it begins at me. And therefore the reformation, the real character building, the building of character begins in the atmosphere itself. And it begins also with the knowledge of universal ethics. That is what is true morality. That's why the definition is there, what is true morality? The true morality flows from the current concept of duty, man and nature. My goodness, knowledge of God, knowledge of man and knowledge of nature. True morality can follow only if we realize and actually understand the way of the divine is in each one. Immediately, the emphasis is on the other nature of man. And then, another very important statement, that we are not separate from each other. To live for others is the foundation and the basis of true religion and true spiritual knowledge. So ultimately, I mean, coming to the second part, am I living for myself or for others? Now, it's very unpleasant to say that I'm living for others. You see, we must always admit that we take our food so that my body and soul can remain together. I take exercise so that my health may grow. I take education so that I have qualifications, that I may have some good job, etc., etc. Everything that we do is centered on ourselves. But if at the back of our mind, at the back of our mind, that I am making myself fit, physically, mentally, morally, and inwardly, so that I may willingly contribute to the welfare of the world. Whether I am aware of it or not, in any case, I am going, that gives a contribution towards development, towards upliftment. On the other hand, as the Shri says, each time I fall, I thank all others along with me. And each time I rise over my own weaknesses, to that extent I am lifting the whole psychic and spiritual atmosphere. But the terrible responsibility of moral responsibility, that unconsciously to myself I am affecting others. This is a very important point. Why? Because we as humanity are one common family. Then we are one intrinsically, essentially in our true nature. In fact, the very origin is common. That we are originating in the spiritual realms. That we are all sparks of divinity, inseparably interconnected and interrelated. You can't get away with this. This is the law. This is the law of our nature. You can't get away with it. It's like this in an hospital bed. If you are entering the hospital, you are in that atmosphere. That is, you can't. When you put on the mask, you are very exposed to the psychic and spiritual, physical atmosphere of the place. So, simply, if the very fact that we are born here, we are connected with others. Then the very fact that I am born in a particular family, I am connected with them. The very fact that I meet certain people as my friends, or my enemies, that fact should, there must be some connection between us. And that is the law of nature. It's a whole huge chapter of the law of karma I cannot take down, but that shows that whatever that I have done in the past is to come back to me. Whatever people have contacted and influenced them, they are magnetically connected with me. Sometime or the other I am going to meet them. And here I am meeting my friends and my enemies of the future also. Not only of the past, but I am going to meet them in the future. Because the same people with whom I make contacts, they are going to come back to me. So again, further responsibility to my beloved others. So in other words, we have a common spiritual origin and an inseparable link. And then, this inseparable link, that's a very fine statement about this. Not only of the earth, but from gods to man, from the worlds of atoms, from a star to rushlight, the world of form and existence is an immense chain whose links are all interconnected. That's not getting away from it. This is a law. The very nature of our existence is such that right from the highest to the lowest, that finest atom, we are connected to one. And invisibly, in the finer threads. And we can take an advantage of it also, as I just said. That sitting, as I just mentioned a few earlier, that sitting silently in our room, if we can have a real bhavana, a maitri bhavana, a real feeling of goodwill towards others, to that extent we can help and heal others. To that extent we have contributed, we have given a dose of medicine to human suffering, to human ills. So we need not go into the world, into the social world, or into the what is called field. Social workers, we may do that if you want to, but more important than that, with attitude we shall go out. It is impossible to solve world problems, but local problems we can solve here and there. But with what attitude am I touching my fellow being? When a very mere touch, I am transmitting myself, my contagion of the good or the evil. So the theory of responsibility, it is contagion. I am infecting another by allowing a passing thought in my mind. If I really had a bad passive thought, I did not go and embrace my grandchild. If I really had a real thought coming in me, I must not next moment go and touch someone who is innocent. I must avoid it. I must turn back. I must retreat. one must make amends for whatever little thought that has come over me, then this is taking a bath. Now I can touch others. Now this kind of awareness of one's responsibility. This is the character. It's not really being goody-goody, being kind, being friendly. Oh, there is a book on character about Samuel Smiles. It tells you varieties of characteristics. And it can be something in this Dhamma, Surya, Shanti, Yudhya, Viraga, it can be said. But this is character. Character is awareness that I am here and I am responsible for what is happening around me. What is happening to me is first, yes, of course. The kind of thinking that I do, the kind of life I am living, definitely is going to change the psychic atmosphere within my own family. I can lift up my family, lift up a legacy here. The way I conduct myself, by the power of example. This is extremely important, the power of example. And sometimes the silent example plays a lot. Just tell you a little personal experience. I showed my father's photograph to my grandson. My father was a boxing champion and also a boxing instructor. So I showed this photograph to my grandsons. And when they saw, oh, they were delighted to see my grandpa was a boxer, right? And then they said, oh, you will also be a boxer. They asked me, were you a boxer? I said, no, I wasn't a boxer, but I am boxing somehow. What is that boxing? I am doing in the boxing. I am also a boxer beside. But then you are a boxer, you build up. Your grandpa was a great father. So my own father came not see. And now the third generation, my son's son, I'm sure, and he is delighted to see his grandpa, oh, boxer. So like that, you see, one more example here. That's why we must continually expose ourselves, expose others to the noble stories of the village. Our people, Vishnu, from first place to the last, either in love or sensuality, or one, a pleasure, I can't speak about that. And the sad political, social, economics, particularly economics, all in the heart picture. And people become less, people become nervous about this. They are being exposed to it. And then when you come home and you are watching the television screen, again, the same old stories of corruption, fractures, family feuds. Nothing harmonious, nothing normal, nothing beautiful of human nature. Occasionally, of course, the human nature rises and shown that some heroic person may be there. But most of the time, there are always some kind of lower vibrations. So, our children are exposed to this continually. Not just we are exposed to them continually, and therefore, character really is a very, very difficult job. And therefore, I think, again, we rapidly read the second one that individual cannot separate himself from the race. Cannot. Nor can not the race from the individual. Why? Because the law of karma applies equally to all, although all are not equally loved. So again, I just mentioned the law of karma that we have worked together once upon a time, and that contact has not been lost. Therefore, in helping on the development of others, the Theosophist believes that he not only is helping them to fulfill their karma, but there is also no sickness and fulfilling his own. It is the development of man of which both he and they are integral part that he has always in view. And this is always in view. So this vigilance is not only reserved to not to allow a passing witness in my nature, but aware of my being here. And I am here to contribute something of my own. I have taken a lot from Mother Nature. I have taken a lot from the advantage of being born in this century. I have taken a lot of, made a lot of contacts, thanks to which I am a little comfortable man. All the comfort that I am enjoying is thanks to you, as we often say, even a cup of tea that I enjoy, has come from the help of many other fellow human beings. So to that extent, I am indebted to others. And therefore, I have a responsibility. Sensibility, not to help me, but in the success then, and thereby fulfilling my own. It is the development of humanity which has to constantly keep in view. And he knows that any failure on his part to respond to the highest within him, the task of himself, will follow in the progressive march. So again, we are looking around the same idea that the Israelite lift others along with us as we fall with that others along with us. Because it is an open law, moreover, that no man can rise superior to his individual failings without lifting, the whole body of which is an integral part. So rise and fall of humanity depends upon rise and fall of the individual. And you say, what is this small man that I am? What can I do about this? What can I do about this? Take an example of corruption, the whole social corruption, that group is a great degrading thing. Particularly about God, you see. Talking about God, once Einstein got lost. Einstein was lost after all right, atomic bomb was found. It has blasted, but it had helped to conclude the war, the Second World War. But what would be the kind of weapons that we were using the Third World War? Could you scientifically imagine? Stop and say, but I can tell you something about the Fourth World War. He said, during the Fourth World War, there will be few nomads left on this earth who are fighting with stones and spears. I don't know about the Third World War. I know that is going to be so devastating that in the Fourth World War, we will be fighting with our stones and spears. There will be nothing left. And there is a tremendous answer. And another scientist was asked that, what is the remedy against atom bomb? He stopped. And he said, peace. Only one word. The only remedy against is peace. Peace in the heart of man. Collectivity of peace. Now, these are the great thinkers who spontaneously gave out this ancient wisdom. And what you require is this. And then try and imagine what is the devastation that can take place due to these wars. So coming to this corruption, as Roosevelt said, it must stop here. It must stop with me. And then I require the courage to face the consequences. You see what is known as the whistleblowers nowadays. These whistleblowers who expose others, they are taking a risk with their own life. When they do it, they are absolutely sure that they are not going to live long. Sooner or later, the tremendous force is against them. Not only they are exposed only one few people here, but they are so much interconnected. Corruption is interconnected. It's a whole network. It is not a simple thing, one to one. The whole network is ruling around the globe. So to fight against this, courage has meant to stand up and say so. And to stand out of the crowd, to be able to say. His wife will say, you are an idiot, you are a fool. What can you do that? You are endangering our lives. He may say that. And he may weep and say, yes, I know it. But then I have to do it. Yeah. So there are a few courageous men who are willing to sacrifice themselves for the sake of it. And one single individual of this kind who have contributed to this, they will not even work out in the long run. In this one life, the sacrifice of one single life, you know how much tremendous time he has taken over in spiritual advancement? He may not be aware of it, but in the next incarnation, he will be protected. In one of the Mahatma letters, this woman can't pinpoint exactly from where he said that whoever sacrifices life for the sake of another, for him, the holy ones take a special care for his future spiritual life. Spontaneously, accidentally, we see someone drowning. He jumps into it, tries to save him. He saved him, but he himself dies. Now, such an individual, what is the reward? The reward is not only heaven, The reward is that he will be looked after spiritually in his future incarnation. That's a great sacrifice, because giving one's life is the most expensive thing to have, the most precious thing you can ever give. So, ultimately, we are coming back to working on the thought plane. The thought plane is the dynamic plane of consciousness. The earthly character building starts with the mind. The quality and the stuff of our mind, the quality and the stuff of our nature. And then, to arouse social conscience, one must be equipped. One is equipped to reach out to humanity. Now that is leadership. So few people like Mahatma Gandhi may rise beyond them courageously. But they live behind the footsteps on the sand of time. They live behind our vibrations which will never die out. Please forget. We may forget an individual called Gandhiji. Some individual who have done something, and many heroes like him. But the contribution that he has made will not die. This is the hopeful message. So we are trying to give this idea. The confronting the whole, as I said, network of corruption, mind-boggling internal network of corruption all over. Against that, this spider's net, where it can easily be caught up, it is the few individuals here and there which say that. At least in my own personal day-to-day dealings, I will practice integrity, practice my character. I will not let my character suffer. I remember once a simple lady clerk in Central Bank. She told me about the illegal corrupt events taking place in her bank branch. And she said, "We have to struggle to come out of this." I said, "But then what will you get out of this?" She said, "Self-esteem." We were in the taxi and she used the word self-esteem. "What have you gained by that?" "I wanted just teasing." "What have you gained by this?" He said, "I gained self-esteem." That means you rush in your own eyes. "For once, my hands are clean." And as Bhagavad Buddha said, if your hands are clean, then you can touch anything. Good, bad, or indifferent. Then you can handle even poison. But if your hands are unclean, then you are constantly on tether roots. You are not relaxed. So she says, so one at least, character at least gives you one good thing. That you can walk with face upwards. You will not look down, you are not afraid. Because you look straight. When you look straight into the eyes of others, there are many people who can't come with you looking into your own eyes. This is one of the most common defects of ordinary human being. They hardly talk for a few seconds and turn their eyes away. To keep eye to eye movement requires a kind of cleanliness, a kind of inner calmness. So of course, since you mentioned calmness, character, that one of the quality of character is calmness. But how can you have character when you are inwardly agitated? And you are inwardly agitated because there is inner conflict. Therefore, the mind and body relationship is continuously there, and there is no getting out of it. The body-mind relation, there are a lot of dealings here, I have not gone through it, but we will go through it. And that we say that one thing that definitely is very, very important that I would like to say here. You can solidify your character, it's in the fifth, by attending to small things. As I said, drop by drop, you can be weak. Drop by drop, you can be good. By attending to small things. This will allow us an inner attitude of attention, vigilance, and caution. The small faults and the small occasions, even small occasions, being conquered, being taken care of, character grows strong. The feeling and desire are not wholly of the body. Then he says, if the mind is deliberately taken off such subjects, that is, personal feelings, hurt, pride, ego, restlessness, is taken away from such subjects, rejecting them, and place one other than others. That is very more noble, uplifting, inspiring, self-satisfying things, and dwell on them. Then the whole body will respond and follow the mind and grow back to the world. So you know, body purification can take place by purifying one's consciousness. You see, you can delay illness. The illness is bound to come because the body is so made from the very beginning. Because of our past karma, and we are born with a body with a definite period of longevity. And the body, anything that has taken place, burn, it must die. So sooner the body, is going to disintegrate. But we can delay to a certain extent. We can live while we are alive. One can live very cheerfully, very creatively, by seeing that mind and body relationship are very well integrated. And therefore, mind body relationship is very important. Today, many young people are talking about fatigue, a chronic fatigue on the body. Now, understand, a little person, if they easily get tired of a working task, young people are continually fatigued. This is one of the things they go through, the doctor, give me some time. And now there are tremendous advertisements about fatigue matters. So, it's because of this loss of vital prana. And where is this loss? Excitement, frustrations, disappointments, struggle, tension, stress, all these things waste of energy. And therefore, loss of digestive power. Many of the digestive disorders have this distinct origin with tensions, stress feelings. So this, because of resentment, stress, conflict, anxiety, guilt, psychologists have recognized this. So psychosomatic medicine, although it is there as a big textbook, it is not practiced by common doctors on the street. In the city, you won't come across a doctor who will tell you the world you are suffering from something wrong with your emotional nature. No, he will give you like prescription, kept that away with it. At the moment, he will give you a tranquilizer, at the moment, he will give you small sleeping pills. But he knows inwardly that somehow or other, this poor digestion and all those things are too low with the mind. But he won't openly admit it. So, mind, if it is well integrated, then there are less of conflict. Not that we are above conflicts. Every one of us, the student when he came here preparing for this lecture, he was inwardly tense. Some tension is there. But then, here is the tension which helps you to contribute. So that you can make progress and that a certain amount of tension required. But when it goes overboard, it goes beyond our control, then tension is bound to break us from the day. And doctors are afraid to tell you on your face that what's wrong with you, nothing else, but you change the way of life. Nothing to. Sometimes in them, go out of Bombay, go out of this, go for a small change, take a break, they call it, take a break. And nowadays, people are giving, take a break, you say, I don't know, in the ICIC Institute, they give about half an hour to take a break. They all go on the terrace and perform yoga practices. This is their kind of a break. A little contribution was also taking away from this word low and momentarily relaxing themselves. But what's more important to thy own self is true, and it follows as night to day, thou canst not be false. One has to be true to oneself, and the Shakespeare says that nothing more is required. Yes, we can open ourselves to questions.
Build this into children in our education system, can anything be added? did, so that this happens right from their childhood, that character building is taken care of.
I think the absolute that education begins at home. So the atmosphere of the home, we don't need not blame our education institution and other things. What about our own home? The tremendous impression you generate right from birth, right from when the child is in the womb. The mother is influencing the character of the child while when the baby is in the womb. So the responsibility of worry on the parent and the spiritual and psychic atmosphere of the family. That is the first. And as to the education institutions, they are recognizing it. But then at the same time, they are increasing the quota of education, so tremendous pressure is available on our children, particularly the body of examination. Because much of the education is learned by both. And they are not made to think for themselves. There is a whole chapter on education in K2 Theosophical Bangalore and Namaste. One has to take into account this factor. They want more education. The kind of education that will receive only 3 hours, reading, writing, arithmetic. Or the quality of the man that you are developing. Is it really a factory which produces graduates and then they are thrown into the world? I remember my physician who told me when I graduated, he said, don't think your education stops here. Now your real education begins. When you are going out into the world, your education will begin. This is your real education. Because now the world will teach you lessons. Where you will confront problems of life and where you are. Have you prepared for it? Have you trained yourself to confront that? And literally then they started thinking, oh my, I'm going to face the world. Am I ready for it? I'm as smart as my father because he was a smart man. No, he is a worldly man. India went to it, but he is tremendously strong. Well, I graduated, I became incapable of facing the world because I have not been trained to face the world. So that's why the solution is with education is, but I think the parental responsibility is greater, far greater. The power of example, again and again, is tell you the silent power of example. We never do some heroic things. I mean, the cheerfulness with which you carry your face in the home. If in your home you carry a burden of your face at home and become troublesome with your family members, then people come back tired and they are angry and they throw things and shout at each other. This is a modern time because people are tired of life. And when you are tired, you can't keep your peace with yourself, peace with your neighbors, peace with your friends, peace with your family. So please, you know, the moment you enter your home, my responsibility. I will see to it that they are taken care of emotionally. So this emotional contents of the family is very more important than any type of university education. I think we can end with a very beautiful day. It says, be noble, this is the last one. Be noble. And the nobleness that lies in another man sleeping but never dying will rise in majesty to meet that one. So this, some of this contagious. It arouses in another some little taste of goodness in him. If you carry the goodness to yourself.
Thank you.